Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 728, Knock at the Cabin Door at the End of the World.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's kind of a long title, but I like it.
Yeah. It's like that Jonathan Winters movie was like, Dear Dad, Poor Dad, Mom Left You in the Closet and I'm So Sad.
Yep. I've never heard of that in my life.
That's a thing.
No, I believe it.
That's an old-timey reference.
Right, it is there. An old-timey
is
reference.
Like, how old is... I mean, Jonathan Winters was a thing. I guess he was a thing in forever ago.
Well, see, Joe, here's the thing. You're old now, whether you realize it or not. So the stuff you thought was old when you were young is really,
it's really old.
Yes. Here it is. Oh, Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet, and I'm Feeling So Sad.
Oh.
Where would I know Jonathan Winters from, though? Like, was he on a TV show when I would have been a kid?
Well, he was on Mork and Mindy.
No.
He was Mirth. He was Mork and Mindy's baby. Because
what year did that come out?
That would have been the early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 82-ish, I guess. And he was just in the last season. They brought him in to try and pump up ratings. Because if there's anything kids of America were clamoring for in 1982,
Jonathan Winters.
It was Jonathan Winters. But
was he in some Muppet stuff?
I don't think I remember seeing him in Muppet stuff. But Robin Williams was always kind of considered a modern day Jonathan Winters because
okay.
He was, you know, very manic. He was in It's a Mad, Mad, Mad
Sure,
Mad
sure,
World.
Sure. That's a given.
Yeah.
I think everybody was.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anybody who was. But that I think that was his first movie.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
And he like stole the movie because he's the guy who tears apart the gas
yeah.
station. That yeah. But that was like, I'm pretty sure that was his
oh, that's
first
crazy.
Role. If
okay.
not as. You know, but he had done a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was this movie came out in, let's see, it's based on a play from 62. When did this? 67 is when the play came out.
Oh.
It's based on the 1962, Oh Dad, Poor Dad, Mama's Hung You in the Closet, and I'm Feeling So Sad, a pseudo-classical tragic farce in a bastard French tradition.
All right. I think that should tell you all you need to know about the whatever
yes.
that is.
And all I know about this movie is when I used to go to the video store, it was on the shelf. And I was just like, what the hell is that? And the cover was like him on a swing set.
Okay.
And I was
there
just,
are so many movies yeah. now that like I've never seen, but I know the poster from the video store.
Yep.
From
there's
looking
a
at
lot.
The covers.
Yep. There's a lot that that I could pick out. There's like movies that I would also would never watch.
Like,
because they were too scary.
You bring up a movie title or something, and even if I haven't seen it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, so not in the past 10, 15 years, but you're talking about 80s, 90s,
oh,
early aughts.
The VHS boom, for sure.
Yeah.
So I guess we should go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Kevin's from an undisclosed location this
You'll
week.
Never find out, figure out where I am.
Yeah. Just going to give your address. So, I don't know what. Oh, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you'll share an episode. It's the easiest thing you can do to help us out. And people who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, Chris Falls, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Glenn Cougar, Melon Brewer, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Heather Sachs, Brent Smith, Christopher Rex, Josh Rosen, Cinema Recall, The Real Pete, Batman, Rye Guy, Spoiler Piece Theater, Dissect That Film, David Rojas, Invasion of the Remake, Chris Williams, Mike and Oscar, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Matt Naglia, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Nostalgia Cast, Feelin' Film, and Ryan Terry. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Finally, don't forget, we do have a Patreon, where for $5 a month you can get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and we like you a little extra. So,
and the new one's coming. It's a battle for the ages. It's the war has raged on between those who like and dislike Halloween Ends, and Joe and Matt are finally going to put an end to the debate.
We will. Yeah, we put an end. Well, until next year.
Which one of you dislikes it?
Come on.
What?
It's not me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then Matt wins. Yeah. I don't even need to listen. Matt wins. So there's all that. I guess let's dig in, shall we? Knock at the cabin door at the end of the war. Like, so
there's no door in the title, even though you always say door at the end.
I thought there was a trailer that had door in it.
Oh. Like, I always thought it was knock at the cabin.
I could have swore at some point there was a trailer that said knock at the cabin door.
It is funny because, so I saw this at the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, fancy. How is it?
It's great. Okay. It's super easy to get to. It's their big show was super impressive. Like everything, it was a great experience.
They call their large screen.
This Theater 8 is the large theater. It was a really good experience. Hopefully they stick around. That's really they're not in the greatest of locations.
Did you stop by IKEA for Swedish meatballs?
I did not. No. Oh, okay. I that's also where I work. So it's like cool.
At IKEA?
You work at IKEA?
I do. Yes. Trust me, it feels that way sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I was like, cool. Now I'm just driving to work. And to
so
go
you
see
know
this.
How to put together the schnarfenflorn.
Oh, well, yeah. You get to have that. Yeah.
I think that's a slur. You just stumbled into a Swedish slur.
You didn't know it.
Depends on how you say it, though.
Yeah, right. You put the wrong inflection on the wrong syllable.
It was very offensive to Belgians. The Swedes and the Belgians. They call them Belgies. I don't know if we can say that.
I don't know if we can say that.
If this ever airs in Belgium, I think I could get in a lot of trouble. I'd probably cancel in Belgium now because I said Belgium. They say Belgies, but
you're not white enough.
Right.
Yeah, we live stream to Belgium, so they've already canceled you.
Oh, damn it.
But I will just say, like, they play, like, the thing
can
that
I have their
like,
waffles?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, yeah, you got to make them yourself, though.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I wouldn't want to eat them now that they know I call them Belgies.
I guess don't do that. Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, let me make that.
Okay.
Yes. I'll make my own. Thank you very much.
I don't want the whipped cream because God only knows what you're mixing in.
Just bad. Why does this taste like bleach?
Oh my God.
So what I like about the Draft House is there's no ads. They don't do ads. Oh. It's all just like
No Maria Menounos,
no nothing. But they do things that are
That's why it costs $75 to see a movie there.
That cost me $20 a month, one a day.
Oh, they play old trailers.
They're not even old trailers, but they play things that like play into the movie. So like they play the Robot Chicken M. Night Shyamalan skit, which is just him.
That's fun.
Which is just him, like, things happen in his life that are completely normal. He's like, what a twist. But they play like the song that gets played in this movie. They played that music video.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's weird.
Put on your dances. Yeah, because until you see the movie,
it doesn't make any
you
sense.
You don't understand why they're doing that. Yeah.
But it was it's if you have one close to you or in your city, you already know this, but go. Like, that, they're a great theater.
Should I be expecting a check in the mail?
Or? I would hope so. I pay them $20 a month anyway, so great.
And how many movies does that get you?
One a day.
One a day. Oh,
one
okay.
a day. And that, yeah. I was like, hey, man, that's a, that's you pay,
really
you,
solid.
You pay $2 in like taxes.
Yeah.
It's like done.
Yeah.
Done. They're
going to. Oh, you cover the taxes. That's
you cover the taxes, but like okay. it's only $2. Where they gig you is the food.
Well, yeah.
That's where they get you. But that's I will
where
say
all the movie theaters.
That's also true.
Like that. They right. didn't invent
they discovered
that
business, business model.
They just give
the
you better food.
They charge really you $12 per popcorn.
Yeah. Kernel.
Not per bucket. Per corn that's been popped.
One kernel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I ate my popcorn. You guys will be glad to know I ate it early at this one. It was all done. I'm like, man, I wish I had more popcorn.
I will tell you, at the Draft House, it's endless popcorn.
Yeah, but yeah. that's always a scam. Who's getting up?
That's also
in the middle of a movie. To
nobody,
go
nobody,
that's
right. nobody.
I could get
because
one
they're
refill,
coming to
but
you.
I don't even want to get up because I'm like, oh, this is a Night Shyamalan movie. There's going to be a twist.
You,
well,
you push the little button. Here comes your waiter.
Okay,
and they yeah. take your popcorn and they bring it back to you.
It's that's funny. Cool. Like all the other theaters in town switched to that, and then COVID killed it, and now we've got all these buttons that do nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I gotta tell you, I thought this was great.
I like this movie.
I thought it was really like
there's it's very different from the book, the ending.
Yes. Like, so I'm currently reading the book.
I well, just li- finished
listening
the book.
To the book.
Yeah, I just finished.
They just, oh, they just described Leonard for the first time. I was like, well.
Oh, you're very early.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like on page three.
I'm on chapter two.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say.
Well, the first 45 minutes of this movie are practically verbatim.
Yep.
To the book.
Yep.
Like you could probably skip ahead about 200
oh, really?
Pages and you'll be fine.
And then you'll be like, oh, this is new.
Yeah, like until they basically up until they kill Redmond.
Okay.
Then everything starts to change.
Okay.
And I understand why they made the changes they did. Some of them I like, some of them I don't.
Okay.
But we shall get there.
We shall. So, but yeah, it is not your typical M. Night flick.
Yeah. And we should say, because you referenced the Leonard character who's
yes.
played
oh,
by
sure.
Dave
Bautista.
And we should say that wasn't just let's put Dave Bautista in a movie. If you read the book, that guy is describing Dave Bautista.
Yeah, right,
like,
right, right.
I mean, the character of Leonard is they call him
looks like a bear.
Yeah. They say, I think at one point they say he's like a human wall.
Yes.
He is in the book described as just a massive, like not fat, but like just massive
a hulking
wall
individual.
Of muscle.
It's also, yeah. I think this is the, it's funny because when that guy was a wrestler, you know, he had his persona was just like this animal, basically.
Right.
Like he would tear through everybody.
If you say so.
I do. And I don't think we've ever actually
tear through everybody like Thai food.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
No problem. But we've never seen him, I don't think, be like intimidating. In a movie, he's always
know.
Kind of
Blade Runner 2049.
I was thinking that one.
That
when
he was in a Bond movie where he's beating the living bejesus.
Yeah,
movie,
but he's
yeah.
not like breaking through doors. Like that scene in this one where he shoulder blocks that door.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, that's Dave.
Oh, wait
like,
a minute. What about when he played Tong Po in Kickboxer Vengeance?
Well, we don't talk about those movies. Like everybody has to okay. start somewhere, Kevin.
Okay.
And
sounds
I,
like
I,
he might kick something. I don't
he,
know.
I think. Yeah, I don't. I've never seen that.
My guess is, just based on the title, it was a box.
Yeah.
He kicked a box.
A box. One yes. box.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
When you're a kickboxer.
It's right in the title, boxes. Kevin. Okay. Come on, Kev. Connect the dots. He's kicking
boxes. He was in The Scorpion King 3.
He was.
Because they were like, we got to have a wrestler
with
in this.
With Lou Ferrigno, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then he was in the kickboxer movie.
Yep.
He was in L.A. Slasher. I don't even
know. No
idea
what that
is. Drug dealer number one. So that just sounds like he was standing in the back somewhere. There was another one on here, The Warrior's Gate. Like some of these I've never even heard of.
He actually took a very different approach than I think most wrestlers trying to make that jump did, where he was like, I'm just going to do things and just try to learn as much as I can from different directors and like the process. And I think I said in something else that we had seen him in, maybe it was Blade Runner, where I was like, I think he's the best wrestler turned actor. Because he's doing different stuff.
Right.
You know, like The Rock is, he's got a set thing.
The Rock just does The Rock.
That's exactly
right. Like, I mean, I guess there's been a couple movies like that Get Shorty sequel, but.
That's true.
Be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'll try.
Pain and Gain.
Yeah. But by and large.
He's just doing The Rock.
The Rock has his set. He's got one setting and it's The Rock.
Where I feel like Batista is all over the place.
Yeah, he's
and
doing
not,
different things.
And not
yeah.
in a bad way,
yeah.
right?
There's something about his performances to where, you're right, Joe, like when you look at, when you watch Blade Runner 2049, he's got these nuanced actions. He there is depth to his characters. There is that nuance to where it's like, yeah, this guy's really trying to do something different. He's not just trying to be action star. He's tapping into these things in the character. And so it does come across on these different roles. And I agree. He's one of the better actor or wrestler turned actors for sure.
Yeah. Like in this movie, I feel like Leonard is very much aware that he's a scary looking MF-er.
Yes.
And he spent his life doing everything he can to not scare people.
Right.
And now he's in this situation where
he's gotta
scare people, but he doesn't want to scare people.
Yeah.
And he also knows that scaring them is not the way to get what he wants.
Right. Right. Yeah. And
I wonder if that's a Of Mice and Men reference.
It is interesting.
Named him Leonard, and he's huge.
Because the way he's talking, though, you know, it's tough. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie, don't go into it without expecting a twist. Because there isn't.
Right.
There is no twist. And I think that has kind of been the backlash. I think that's kind of why people haven't liked it.
It's the backlash Shyamalan always gets. Is they're like, there either isn't a twist, and then they're mad that there isn't a twist, or there's a twist, and then there's mad because they didn't like the twist.
Right.
Or
he pigeonholed himself. Yeah. When he made it
that's
his
true.
Brand, it's not like people, when you make 10 of them in a row and they all have twists, like, it's just hard not to expect.
I feel like a lot of those post Sixth Sense movies didn't necessarily have twists. They had reveals.
Yeah.
And because people were seeing it post Sixth Sense, they were like,
what's the twist?
What's the twist? And they're confusing a reveal with a twist. Like, I don't
feel...
The
Village is a twist.
The Village is a twist, yes.
Yeah, Unbreakable's a reveal.
But Unbreakable's a reveal.
Signs is, I guess, a reveal.
I mean, I don't think Signs really has a twist.
No, I think it's the water.
It's just the water.
It's the water.
It's not like Mel Gibson was an alien the whole time or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so...
What a twist.
And so, yeah. So, like, I feel like... But people would then call it the twist
right.
when it wasn't. Like, it wasn't even trying to be a twist. Like I said, Unbreakable to me isn't a twist. It's a reveal.
Yeah.
But people walked out going, well, I mean, I like the twist, but it wasn't as good as Sixth Sense. Well, that's because it wasn't a twist, right?
Sure.
It's because the story revealed something to you.
No, Unbreakable has a twist. The Mr. Glass is the one that caused it all.
Yeah, I just,
but that's a reveal.
I just never saw that as a twist. I saw it as a reveal.
I think, I mean,
but you
like,
wouldn't think the guy that's helping you is the one that actually caused it. Like, to me, that's a twist because you don't expect that.
I mean, it's twist adjacent.
It's I don't think it's on the same level of been dead the entire time.
Right.
Or
but I mean,
and I think some people were disappointed with that movie in real time. Like, people walked out of that movie going, well, it's not as good as The Sixth Sense. And those people are wrong.
They are, because Unbreakable's great.
Unbreakable's great.
It's fantastic.
Like, I hate the next two, but
I liked Signs.
No, I meant in the Unbreakable.
Oh,
trilogy.
No, yeah, that's fair.
I didn't like Split, and Glass was awful.
Glass was terrible.
But, well, to do those in the James McAvoy character in modern time, and then the third one came out, and it's even more, things have become progressively
more
unacceptable.
Unacceptable, yes.
So.
But Unbreakable's great.
Yes.
Like, Unbreakable might be his best movie.
It is in the discussion.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my point is that people walked out of that, I think, calling it a twist when I don't think it was really intended to be a twist as much as a reveal.
Sure.
And then people were kind of like, you know, even though it was a hit, they were like, and then I think people warmed up to it later.
Yeah.
But
like, I enjoyed this movie, and I know you guys really enjoyed it. I it's not that I hated it or anything, and I'm fine if there's not a twist. That's totally fine. But if there's not a twist, then I'm kind of like, what were they doing? It just, me, like, I watched the movie. It's fine. They laid it out. What they said would happen happens exactly.
And I think,
and I'm just like, okay.
The reason, it sounds like Joe loved it, I liked it, and you didn't like it. And my guess is the reason I didn't love it is the reason you didn't like it.
Okay.
Is my guess, because and we'll get there, but the way it ends, I have
it just doesn't do anything to really challenge you,
right?
Like, we're watching this movie, and they say everything from the get-go. I mean, it's fine if you set things up, but like, they don't they're not trying to be clever about it. They're not trying to really sugarcoat or hide anything. They're like, this is going to be really hard. I'm really sorry for what you have to do. And then, okay, you guys are going to have to make this choice. And if you don't, plagues are going to unleash and we're going to kill someone. Okay, we're going to keep doing it. Oh, and like, and I know they try to put that mystery, like, are these people crazy or is it real? But like, the movie to me didn't really lead me to question if it was real.
See, I think I was on the side of not Christoph, the other dad,
King George.
Is that who he is?
Yeah, that's King George. Oh, okay. Jonathan Groff.
Oh no, that's Christoph.
Oh,
Jonathan Groff. King George.
Okay.
He looks like a young Ryan O'Neill. Oh, I could see that.
The whole time I was Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah, but the other dad.
Yeah, it,
Daddy Andrew.
Yeah,
where he is.
Is he your daddy?
Hey now,
sounds a little weird when you say.
I mean, you do you. Yeah. But he...
Just don't call him Zaddy.
What does that mean? Which one's that?
It's a millennial thing, I think.
It means like a sexy older gay man.
I watched Daddy Pedro Pascal on SNL last night. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's kind of leaned into that, which I think is
pretty great. There's a whole skit about it, too. Because he knows that people make all these TikToks and stuff and call him Daddy.
Sure.
He'll even say it. He'll be like, I'm your daddy. Like, he'll talk like that into like, on interviews and stuff. It's really funny.
That's pretty good. But yeah. I think I was kind of leaning towards his side where he's just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, look.
If this were happening, I would be Andrew. I'd be the guy picking it apart where he's like,
absolutely.
Well, the news isn't happening in real time. The news is reporting something that happened an hour ago. So like, it's like it didn't happen.
And he's looking at his watch the whole time.
Yeah.
And you got your head busted in.
Yeah, like, no, I think it's great. And I love that they have the two different characters to where one is really questioning this. Andrew is a lawyer. So he has that kind of mind who's trying to pick things apart. And Eric, who played by Jonathan Groff, is not that he... Not that he's on the other side where he totally believes it, but he's more open to it. And then they give him the injury, which also makes you question. I will say
in the book, they play up two things a little bit more. I feel like they play up the head injury more.
Okay.
So he's much more concussed in the
book. He does bang his head real hard.
Yeah. But
ground.
I feel like they really lean into that more. Like you are never not aware of the fact of how kind of loopy he is in the book.
Okay.
The other thing in the book that I feel like the movie shows you but doesn't really show you as much is that he grew up Catholic.
That's what I thought.
And so he's kind of got that belief, this sort of stuff baked into his DNA. And so like it's a lot easier for him to kind of revert to
plagues and
into the world. Not that Catholics believe. I mean, they believe it in the abstract, but they're not
Old Testament.
But they're not like cult. It's not like a cult. I don't think so.
I should probably cover my face when I do it on the camera. Yeah.
Well, I just meant the average Catholic's ideal.
That's
with,
fair.
They're not like, oh no, the rapture's going to happen tomorrow.
Sure.
In the way that a lot of evangelicals
not
can
Kirk
be.
Cameron.
Right.
But yeah. I don't want to rewrite their movie for them or anything, but as I'm watching this film and having not read the book before, I think what would have been more interesting to me as a viewer and being challenged with some of these things would be if they start killing themselves off and then nothing happens, and then the remaining ones have to deal with the, well, am I crazy? Or like, did I just murder these people? Like, I just want something a little more.
The book.
Ah. You can go and go. It's fine.
Okay. So the book does two things differently, and the second biggest change the book makes is it doesn't answer the question.
Okay,
and like this is I think ultimately the biggest flaw of the film in that it picks a side.
Oh,
like
sure.
It tells you flat out that these people are telling the truth and that the world is about to end, right?
Like, it makes it less interesting.
And it makes it less interesting because
you're like, okay, like, so it's a supernatural thing and it happens.
Right.
Okay, we've seen lots of supernatural movies, but I don't.
And the book doesn't pick a winner; it doesn't pick a side. So and so it dances around it to even at the climax of the book, it dances around it, and
so the top's still spinning, and you have to decide.
You have to decide whether or not anyone in this story is making the right choice.
Okay.
And so
that's much better.
And so like the book, there's a point in the book in the movie where it pivots away from the book, which is the biggest change.
Okay.
Which I totally get. So I'm going to ruin the book.
No, it's your good.
I'm going to ruin the book for people. So after they kill Redman, Andrew makes a break. Like they Eric and Wynn distract the other three, and Andrew goes out to get the gun. When Andrew comes back in with the gun, him and Leonard wrestle over the gun, and the gun goes off, and he kills Wynn.
Oh,
yes. And so,
which is a huge change.
It's a huge change, which I get why they did.
Makes sense.
Because I was dreading going to see this movie because I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch it. It's bad enough to read a story about an 8-year-old girl getting killed. I know she's technically 7, but yeah.
Child yeah. actor that I think is, she is great.
Yeah.
She's really good. I thought so too.
Yeah.
And so he kills her, and then it spins out. God. And so, because then I think it's Sabrina.
That's the gal with the son.
No,
or
that's,
is that the nurse?
That's Adrian.
Okay. So it's the nurse.
And I might be getting them mixed up, but I think it's Sabrina. Adrian lunges at Andrew, and then Andrew shoots and kills her.
Okay.
And so they never actually have a second ritual killing. It was going to be her, but then he kills her instead.
Okay.
And so then Sabrina, like, starts to have a crisis of conscience where she's just like, this girl's dead. Like, and Leonard, like, promises the girl, like, look, the parents have to make this choice. And I hope people have seen the movie because we've never gone into what the choice is.
Yeah, right.
But the parents have to make this choice. Like, you three have to make this choice mm-hmm. about who's going to willingly sacrifice themselves. But he's like, but obviously they're not going to choose you. Like, no,
talking to Wynn.
He's like, sure. Your parents aren't going to choose you. Like, nobody's going to choose their own child. Like, and even if one of them was that bad, the other one wouldn't be.
Right.
Right. So like you're safe. This is really going to come down to which of the parents right. are going to die.
Yeah.
And so then she gets killed.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And then Leonard's
doesn't
like,
even count.
And it doesn't count
because
it wasn't willingly. Right. Like they all
it was an accident.
They all have to agree and then they have to do it themselves. And Andrew's like, I didn't pull the trigger. Leonard pulled it. Leonard grabbed my hand and the gun went off. So it doesn't on any level count towards preventing.
Now that is a twist.
It's very bleak. The book is much more bleak. As bleak as this movie can be.
Yeah.
The book is even more bleak. And so then Sabrina. And I think I'm remembering which one died, but then Sabrina ends up, they tie Leonard to a chair.
Yep.
And then Sabrina kills Leonard.
Okay.
And then Sabrina's like, I will help you get back to the truck. Cause they're both too weak to get back to the truck. Eric has his head injury. Andrew still had his knee cracked and
messed up.
Yeah. Messed up going out to the SUV.
Yeah.
And so
Sabrina's the one that attacks him at the SUV.
Yeah.
Because Adrian's still inside.
The nurse.
Yeah.
And then Sabrina is going to help them get to their truck where they've hidden their keys because she knows where they buried their keys.
Oh, okay.
And then she gets them to the keys and she kills herself.
Okay.
She kind of keeps toggling in and out of, like, she's kind of being taken over by.
Well, there are moments in this movie, though, right? Like, when the time is up for them, they all four of them kind of go into a trance except for the person being sacrificed.
Right.
And then once that person is dead, you know, like Leonard goes and throws up or Sabrina gets weak in the legs and they all come kind of snapping back, which I thought was kind of a cool little gimmick in the movie, at least.
So
there's a very small cast. So I think we should just say, so Jonathan Groff is Eric, Ben Aldridge is Andrew, Kristen Koo is Wen, Dave Bautista is Leonard, Nikki Amuka-Bird is Sabrina.
She was on Luther. That's where I recognize her from. She was on the second or third season of Luther.
Yeah. Abby Quinn is Adrian, and Rupert Grint, who you know as Ron Weasley from Harry Potter, is Redmond. And is he in the M. Night Shyamalan show too?
What's the show?
Whatever the one is that people they say Apple is TV. Pretty good. Is it? Yeah, it starts with an S, right? Is it? I don't watch it. I'm not familiar with it, but.
I know he's got one on Apple TV, but I don't watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently it's bonkers, and people are saying it's really good, and I think that he's in that, so he probably pulled him over from that.
So that, to me, was what I thought the twist was going to be, is that they're basically the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's who they are.
Which the book never says.
when they all come walking,
if there is anything, or like the reveal to me was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
When they all come walking in, and I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I declare a thumb war.
That's right. Yeah. 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's it. You just have to, if they would have just beat them in thumb war, they would leave.
That would have been it.
Yeah.
So Redmond dies. He's sacrificed first. And while the two dads are tied to these chairs, Eric says, that's the guy. Like, that's the guy that bashed my brains in the
book in the never bar. Tells you if it is or not.
But does he say that? Like, he makes that declaration, but we never find out if
Andrew
it is for
sure. Convinced it's the guy from the bar that assaults him. Eric kind of waffles, but the book never declares whether or not it actually is.
Okay. See, and I think that's better again, too, because it messes with your head.
Well, and I almost feel like there was a version of this film where maybe they didn't because those scenes that they show you, like they shoot them in such a way that you never get a good look at them. And so I thought, oh, they're not going to reveal that whether or not he is.
Right.
Right. Because especially at the beginning, the first 45 minutes of this book, again, it's almost the dialogue is almost verbatim.
As I was listening to it. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, it's exactly the same. But I will like, so what I thought was going to happen is all of these people start revealing their jobs.
Right.
And I was so we get to Redmond, who is the guy who assaulted Eric, Andrew in the bar.
Yeah.
But the Dave Bautista says, well, I'm a second grade teacher, but I am also a bartender. And I was like, okay, like they're all connected. So Sabrina is a nurse. And I was like, okay, so Bautista
did
was
she
behind
patch up Andrew.
Well, Bautista's so behind
be like
the
lost.
Bar. Kind of, right? Yeah. So Bautista's behind the bar.
Yeah.
Redmond or
no, that would have that was, could there's a version where that could have been kind of
But
cool.
I couldn't figure out Adrian.
Yeah. Like, what did she do? Oh, she's
but
a
she
cook
was like
at a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, she was kind of all over the place. So like maybe she was just in the bar. I don't know. But I was like, there's your twist.
Could have been a restaurant / bar.
Could have been.
Yeah.
But that's what I was like, okay, they were all there that night. When Andrew got attacked.
But no.
Yeah,
but
see, that's not the case. I think that's the thing is where like the movie kind of half does things like that where I think if they were all connected, that would mess with your head more because you'd be like, well then are they just there because they all like are they in on it and it isn't the end of the world thing? Or were they pulled together
is everybody in this situation supposed to be at this one place at this one time together? Right. So we've already had this. They've already had this interaction at this bar a couple of years ago. And now here we are. We're back at this cabin and the same group of people are back together again.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Like Lost.
It like just seems like there's something they could have explored in either direction to where, well, if you're going to do it, maybe explore that more and then it would mess with you a little more. I don't know. So like it was just weird stuff like that with reveals where you're like, why? Because like Redmond being there. Being O'Bannon is his real name. And when they give us that reveal, then I guess you're just like, well, then was there anything to that? Because they never explore it further.
To me, that's leaning towards Andrew's case where he's like, these people are insane. Like, it's the same guy that just beat my ass at a bar. Like, of course, you know, and
I
guess it's been like a year. Or
I think it's been longer than that.
I guess that's true. They didn't have
Yeah.
So it was like seven years ago.
She's about to turn 8.
Right.
And it looks like they adopted her when she was 4 or 5 months old.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
To me, it feels kind of like cheating in a way because it's just a red herring where it's like of all the 7 billion people in the world, if you're going to send the 4 horsemen to do this, why choose the one guy that has a connection out of 7 billion?
Right.
So it's just there to throw you off.
Yeah.
And to me, that
which
just
is why
seems like cheating.
It worked better when they never answered the question.
Exactly. You know? So I think that Shyamalan wanted to provide too many answers and maybe he was trying to go anti-twist or anti-reveal or whatever for whatever reason but I think
I got your twist. There is no twist.
Providing these answers they kind of messed up what it sounds like the book had going for it, which was you had to decide.
I don't disagree with that. There's definitely
especially in this age of conspiracy nut jobs.
Sure.
Like I don't know that I can really sign off on a movie where the answer is, oh, the conspiracy nutjobs were right the whole time. Like, that's not as cute of a story as it used to be.
There's
right?
a great line read from Redmond and Leonard and Andrew where somebody mentions a message
board.
Yeah,
and he's like, they met on a message board?
But he's like, a message board?
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's
trying
what I'm
to
saying. Yeah, it does set them up to be crazy, and that's why what I was saying earlier was, if they went the other direction, I think it would have been better than saying, oh, this is real. I would be better off with them saying, oh, and none of it's real, and then they have to, like, the remaining ones have to cope with, like, what have I done? Because, making them win, making it be like, well, yeah, these conspiracy people were right. I'm just like, what is the message with saying that? It feels weird.
I don't think that you're wrong.
The end of the world is real, these people that did crazy things and abducted whatever, like, they were right.
It's the Travis Bickle Joker issue, yeah. Right? Like, it's the same thing that we talked about last week, where it's like, you have now given credence to
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, now in this one, they're not crazy. Like, it's actually happening.
That leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth. Like,
that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, especially given, you know, we talked about last week, where it's like, yeah, those guys aren't the good guys. they're definitely the bad guys, and you shouldn't be rooting for them.
And so I guess we should say, though, it is interesting how it unfolds in that they're trying to be very polite.
That's true.
Right? Like they're the nicest home invaders you will ever
Except
encounter.
For Leonard.
Right. No, Leonard's really nice.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Leonard.
Redmond.
Redmond. Like, but I think even by Redmond's standards, he was being pretty nice.
That's true.
Right? And so, like, they... You know, and I do think the movie's trying to say, and I think the book does too, if he is the same character, if he is O'Bannon, that is he a great guy? No. Is he what he was at the time?
7 years ago?
Of the incident in the bar? No.
Right.
Like, he has moved on from that, but he's still kind of an idiot.
Rough around the edges.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're exceedingly polite, and that's Leonard's strategy. Leonard is like, if we go in playing tough guys, then they're not going to want to listen. They're not going to listen to us. And also, you can't bully them into making a choice, because one of the things is they have to do it willingly. So you can't say, you know, you can't put a gun to Wynn's head and say, if you don't pick somebody, we're going to kill her. Right.
Sure.
In which case they would pick somebody, but it's not willing. So have to convince them that they're telling the truth.
The show that M. Night Shyamalan produces on Apple is called Servant.
Okay.
And it's got 4 seasons. It's supposedly crazy and really good, but I just haven't had a chance to check it out. But Rupert Grint is in that as well.
Okay. So we should say that this movie opens with Wynn catching grasshoppers. Yeah. And she's doing her thing. And again, like, she sees Dave Bautista off in the distance in the woods.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, boy. That's not good. But he does, the way he approaches it is, he's very, you know, we find out that he's a second grade teacher. So he has this voice, and his cadence, I thought, was a little weird. And I was like, is he an alien? Like, what are we? it was just the way he talked to her was like a very.
She says, I know this, and threw water on him. And he was fine.
I've seen this movie.
It's the shortest Shyamalan movie.
Right. He kind of, you know, earns her trust, and they catch grasshoppers together. And he was like, look, you're going to have to talk to your dads. And I do like that as soon as he figures out that it's a same-sex couple, he was like, Pakar! Like, I swear this was not like, this is not a hate crime.
Right.
Like, I didn't now plan it looks this.
Like a hate crime.
Right.
For
and
sure.
Of course, her dads are like, this is a hate crime. Like, you know, it's exactly what it is. So Wynn is a very precocious, I guess isn't the right word, but she's very smart about everything.
Yeah, because she's catching grasshoppers, she's logging them.
Yes.
She's like naming them, and like she's tracking like energy level.
Correct. And colors and all, you know. Yeah. I don't know how she could tell one's a boy and one's a girl, but
I don't know.
She's smart enough to figure that out.
Looked under their skirt.
That's right. She picked up their thorax.
She looked at their ass hopper.
that's a t-shirt. So she runs.
I don't think that's a t-shirt we're making.
Damn it. She runs inside, and then she sees her dad's, and she's like, look, lock all the windows. And I think, do they look outside and they see Dave Bautista?
Yeah.
And everybody else is kind of like walking towards the cabin. I think that's right. Because then they start locking.
They never actually see them. He knocks on the door and they can hear him, and then they hear
is
them
that
all
right?
talking, which makes it creepier because you don't see them. You just hear them.
I really liked the audio.
It's great.
Yeah.
That they use on Batista's voice when he's outside of the cabin. Like, it comes from like behind you and to the left.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. it was very like, I really think filmmakers don't use sound enough in movies that way,
or use
it's so underappreciated.
What the speaker setup is going
to
be.
Sound mixing is so important, but because they're moving around the cabin, they're starting to surround it because they're Batista, Leonard is trying the nice guy thing, but they're basically like, we want to do this the easy way, and then if not, like, we're coming in. And so they all start surrounding, and they're getting they're going around more and more, and they'll finally, like, one is at every corner. He goes through the basement, and,
which is when he just bulldozes that door. I was like, that's I think that may have been that may have been a real door. And Batista said, "No, thank you." I do also appreciate that these two dads kick the out of these people. Like, they're everybody's normal. Like, there's no supernatural element to these. Like, they're
well,
not
they explain other it too,
than,
which is great.
Other than, yes, correct. But, like, they don't have super strength. They don't have, you know.
But they explain it. Andrew is able to do that because of his attack. And he got strong.
And he learned how to fight.
The gym. He got a gun. And so to protect himself and protect his family. So I do like that, at least if you're like, wait a minute, these guys with weapons and they seem really intimidating, like, at least explain why Andrew's able to fend them off without a weapon. And it's like, okay, but he's been training.
Right. And he, I do like the line where he's like, man, I haven't been beat up like that since my dad hit me. I was like, okay, well, that's
he's trouble.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
But our family is overwhelmed and they're tied to a chair. And this is where Leonard says, he's like, look, this world is ending. Like, it's, but you have a choice, and your choice is you have to choose one of you from your family has to die at the hands of another member of the family. Like, Jonathan Groff can't shoot himself in the face.
Right. No suicide.
No suicide.
No picking somebody else against their will.
Correct.
Yeah.
You have to choose who's going to die. And if you don't choose, we're going to unleash four plagues.
And not only do you have to pick, but then you have to do it.
Right.
Right. Like, you.
Yeah. I choose you, but I'm not known.
Yeah. You can't say, well, we all pick Andrew, but and then Andrew kills himself. It's like, you all have to pick Andrew, and Andrew has to agree, and then someone else in your family has to kill them.
Correct.
And do they say families have been doing this for ages or something? Did they mention that?
I don't think so, but
I think they say it later.
Oh,
that they say, like, this has been going on for generations.
I kind of thought that these four people were the survivors of other
tests.
I can see that why that would have been a theory, but I don't think that that's true, because they're also mystified as to why they're there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if they had gone through a test,
I guess that's true.
They'd been like, oh no, this happens.
Yeah.
I did it.
I was thinking of, like, the way Batista is acting. I was like, man, he's maybe,
been getting these visions.
Yeah. It's also red
and
flag.
You'll be very disappointed to learn that they left this out. The first scene where the tsunami hits.
Yes.
When it hits America, the reason that they recognize it from the vision is because it's the rock from the Goonies.
Are you serious?
Yes. She's like, it's Goonies rock. In my vision, it was Goonies rock, and now the water is getting
Goonies
rock.
That's hilarious. That's really good. And so they, like, and every time you say no, that you will not make a sacrifice, then we're going to release one of these plagues. So they, of course, they're both like, no, like, we're not making this choice. And the
you're crazy town.
Yeah, right.
We are not doing that.
So the first one is Redmond.
Yeah.
And he plays it insanely well, where it's like, look, I know I have to do this. I don't want to do this. And I thought the way it's filmed, where he pulls the Rorschach mask, like, out of his back pocket and pulls this white mask over his head. And I was like, oh, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody's wearing white in a somewhat scary movie, that's going to get covered in blood.
That was creepy. I liked the imagery there. It was very uncomfortable.
Right. And so all three, I guess it's Adrian and Sabrina, bludgeon him to death with their makeshift weapons. And then Leonard comes up after they're done and hacks him in the face.
Yeah, I think they all have to take part.
Do something.
Yeah.
It's very ritualistic, too. Like Joe said, they almost go into a trance where they're, like, walking, crisscrossing behind the chair.
Right, right.
Or, you know, like, it's very interesting to see how they all have this thing when they were kind of thrown into this. So it's like something took over. They wouldn't have rehearsed this. They wouldn't have known how they were going to do this ritual, but it seems like they've been taken over.
Yes. And then, of course, as soon as it's over, they all snap back and none of them are happy about what has happened.
Yeah.
And then Leonard says, you know, turn on the TV, and we see this is the earthquake.
The earthquake, which then triggers a tsunami.
I also kind of like that the first one, they're like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And Leonard's like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
And then the second one hits.
Yeah, because I wish I didn't cut this out, because in the book, Andrew even mocks them because they cut to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
And they're like, luckily our advanced warning system and all, we were able to evacuate the hotel. And Andrew's just like, that's your apocalypse? That's what you got? He's like, some Hawaiian vacations got disrupted.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
boy.
Yeah.
And then
I thought that was weird. Do you think that was on purpose that they made it so no one got killed in that one? Because I'm like, well, why did they?
I think it was a head fake.
Yeah, I think it was a head fake.
I think it's a head fake for the viewer or reader that you start off by going like, okay, so it's going to ramp up. This isn't so bad. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, it's you know, like
this is your warning shot.
It's going to get way worse because then the next one kicks in.
Is it off Portland?
Yeah, it's like Portland. Yeah, like Oregon. Yeah. And
I thought that scene was super intense. Like you've got people on a beach and they're looking out over the beach and all of a sudden like the wave is just off in the distance.
Yeah.
And then it gets getting closer and closer. And then
I don't know how the cell phone footage made it to us. Since also they were clearly consumed by the wave.
I don't know either. That's also a valid point.
Very high definition. Yeah. Live
streams it definitely got into the cloud.
Cloud captured it quickly. And then their loved ones were immediately like, we need to send this to CNN.
TMZ.
Sell it immediately. You
know, how we'll pay for the funeral.
That's right. And even because of this, both dads are like, no, like that's it. You know, this is ridiculous. Like it's a happenstance. So then the second time comes around and it's Adrian and she gives a hell of a performance here where you're like, even as the viewer, you're like,
yeah,
maybe she's, you know, I keep seeing the vision of my son burning alive and holding his body as it melts. And I was like, God dang.
She's pleading with him,
maybe just kill one, pick one.
Yeah.
Trying to connect with their humanity, though. It's like, I've got a kid. And so I wouldn't be doing this with a kid because if I die, he's an orphan. And then she says her visions say he's going to be killed too. But like, she's like, I don't want this. And so she tries to reach Andrew on that level and he's just not buying it.
And they both balk again. Both dads balk. And she lets it happen, and there's a plague. It's a little on the nose for 2023.
And the book was written in 2018.
So they didn't know?
It predates. Right. Well, it came out in 2018, so it was probably written in 2016 or 2017.
That, right. And it's a plague. Like it's basically COVID times billion.
It's like it's supposed to be like the bird flu or something.
Something like
variation
that.
On
yeah.
that. Yeah.
But it's only targeting kids from what it looked like. It's only children.
Yeah.
And initially when you see the first one, I was like, well, it's pretty centralized in the United States. That seems a little weird. Yeah. But then this one is like, you've got some in South America, you've got some in Europe, you've got some in the United States.
The earthquake wasn't really because it was Hawaii, which is, yes, the United States,
sure.
But geographically,
right.
It's not really.
But I was like, it's a little on the nose that the second one, it's the United States.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you got to spread this out, man. Like, it's not just.
It's the only way you're going to get Americans to care.
That's true. Right? Yeah, like, we just got to attack the fuck out of it.
I think the people orchestrating the apocalypse were like, look, if this plague hits Uganda, they're not going to care.
If this plague hits Florida, they're still not going to care.
Yeah.
You got to go somewhere up.
They
the
might
East
not be
Coast.
Able to tell.
That's also true.
In their defense.
Sorry for our Floridian listeners.
Yes.
Now we've reached a point where even Andrew is like, okay, maybe there's something, but he is super skeptical. He's like, he's looking at his watch the entire time. Like that's not a live, like you said, that's not a live feed. And they're fighting. Basically they say like, we're going to go to sleep. And in the morning, this is it. Like you have to make a choice.
You know what sucks is that they kind of, I mean, again, I think this is kind of another red herring, but the news networks are like CX2media.org, you know, like if they would have used CNN or something, I think it would have been a lot harder if Wolf Blitzer was like, yeah, the coasts are getting attacked. But they do these rando networks to where, of course, they're going to question because they're like, what is this weird channel?
Why
Did
are
you make
watching,
this up?
You know, America
you know,
First
if they
News,
would have used
right?
a real.
Not
so
OAN.
I, you know, again,
not OAN. Why is that Mike Lindell guy on there? I don't believe that.
Yeah, and I just chalked that up to they didn't want to license known networks, and so I just assumed.
But he's always kept his budget super low.
Yeah.
That's also true. Like, his budgets have always been.
Yeah, so I just chalked it up. And I also know CNN, they've loosened up recently, but for a while they went on a kick where they would not agree to do anything like that anymore.
Oh, really?
Because they felt like it was hurting their journalistic credibility. Yeah. And
they do it all the time. Now Jurassic World, they're talking to CNN.
The first time I remember seeing that really come back was in Mission Impossible something or other.
Yeah.
And the one where it's Wolf Blitzer, right?
Oh, sure.
And I remember at the time even thinking, it took me out of the movie because I was like, I thought CNN didn't do this anymore. And And then here they are doing it. And then I think kind of how they got them over the hump is then it ends up being, it wasn't really CNN and Wolf Blitzer because it wasn't supposed to be like Tom Cruise and their Wolf Blitzer mess that they do. And so I think that was kind of their like, oh, but then it won't really be CNN. Yeah. And I think they were kind of like, well, maybe that's okay.
Anderson Cooper shows up in a lot of movies.
He does. Yeah. He shows up. And I think Rachel Maddow pops up every once in a while as well.
That's MSNBC.
Sure. At this point, both of our dads are fighting to get out of their restraints because they're both tied to these chairs.
Eric is trying to cut his bonds.
Yeah, because Wayne kind of slips him a knife.
Yeah, and he says, do the thing that you did on Thanksgiving. Yeah,
when I give you the nod, you go ahead and do that thing you did on Thanksgiving. And she was like, okay. And gives her the nod, and of course she throws a tantrum.
Which works perfectly because Batista has turned off her cartoons.
Right.
And then apparently the thing on Thanksgiving was, I want to watch my cartoons. So that worked out well.
It's funny because that's for the movie. In the book, the distraction, it's accidental. And Andrew just seizes a moment and makes a break for it while they're like, it's not purposeful. At least I don't remember it being that way.
And I do like that she just loses her mind. And I do like that Leonard, being a teacher, he's like, let's take a breath.
Right.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
And of course, Andrew tears off out, and Sabrina realizes that he's gone, and they get into a tussle. And she's got like a, it's almost like a hammer, like Thor's hammer, these
weapons they made. And they go on about them a lot in the book about how they have these homemade weapons where it's like,
but they were told to make them a certain
way. And it was like a shovel head hanging from a chain at the end of a stick. Like, it was like, they're really weird.
Yeah.
Looking. They're creepy weapons.
These four characters. The one that Sabrina has looks legit.
Yeah.
Like, it's a hammer with a spike on the end of it,
man. And when it's digging into his leg,
first she takes the swing and hits him in the knee, and as a guy that has had knee issues, that one hurt, and I was like,
scariest part of the movie.
But then so Andrew gets into the car and is trying to load. Also, I know, I get it, like,
what's the point of keeping it unloaded? What is the
point of keeping it unloaded in the safe?
Oh, I'm in a dangerous situation. Let me one by one load the bullets in the magazine. Like,
I'm watching that, and I was like, oh God, you stupid idiot.
You keep the magazine separate but loaded, right? Like, full.
Yeah, you have a full magazine, and then you put it in the gun. And you rack around and you're good to go. But while he's like trying to like load rounds, it's like, God dang it.
I'm all for safety, but like, that makes no sense, because in that situation, that's exactly what's going to happen if you don't have it ready.
Right.
What's the point?
What's the point? I will say that I do like that he doesn't want to shoot her. He just fires a warning shot, and she's like, got it. Like, you win, bud.
Yeah.
And just takes off and just runs away. And I was like, what? Okay, that's weird. So, yeah, Andrew goes back inside. This is where they put Batista into the bathroom.
They all do a really good job. The actors, the four actors that are the horsemen, they all do a really good job of conveying they don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you're questioning, is this real? Are they a crazy cult? Whatever. Like, you do get from their performances that they are struggling and they don't want to and they hate this, but you also believe they do feel that it's real themselves. Like, you get that they've had these visions. They believe it. They don't want to do it, but they know, because they're all having the same visions.
Right.
They said they're all dressed the way that they were dressed when they met up with one another without orchestrating. But like, they all showed up.
In the books, they say they're all kind of dressed similar.
They're wearing the same
jeans and shirts,
jeans and a button-up shirt, but all the shirts are different colors.
Right. Like the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Of Apocalypse. Yeah.
I figured those were. I didn't know where they shopped.
So.
I thought it was the Four Horsemen of Des Moines, so I appreciate the clarification.
You're welcome. Yes, yeah. Of Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was the Four Horsemen of the WCW.
Hey, now, let's talk about it.
Oh, why would you do that, Kevin?
I'm so sorry. I just can't believe he didn't bring it up.
I wasn't gonna. Don't worry. Oh. I've been thinking it the whole time, but okay, I didn't say it.
I'm glad you can relax now.
Thank you. So they put Leonard in the bathroom, and they hear a window smash, and both the dads are like, no, you go look.
Okay. Thank God that he didn't jump out that window.
I did think the same thing. Yeah.
There's no way.
I know. When they showed the window, I was like, well, there's no way he went out
that window. Like, instantly would have lost all credibility if he jumped out that window.
I don't know that Wynn could get out that
That's the Winnie the Pooh window.
He should have been stuck in it.
Like, kicking his legs.
But I think that's why Andrew then looked at the curtain, because he's like, ain't no way.
Right. Yeah. And they play that really well, where Andrew fires around into the curtain and there's no movement. And then out of nowhere, Batista, like the Hulk of a man that he is, charges through the curtain and like attacks him. And, you know, at this point, I think Sabrina has been, also been shot. She came like barreling through the back door.
Yeah, he's the last time in the bathroom when he is the last one left.
Correct.
So Leonard is the only one left at this point.
But because Sabrina has died, they've denied. It's kind of it's the Jesus allegory, right? Where I think it's Paul. I think Paul denies knowing Jesus like three times in the Bible.
You're asking the wrong person.
I am. The other guy that I need Tom to come back from the bathroom. I'm pretty sure that's right. I'm pretty sure that's right. Or Peter. Maybe it's Peter.
Mary. Peter, Paul.
No, it's Mary. Peter, Paul, Luke, and John. Like, that's the... Never mind.
Oh, the Beatles.
yes, the Beatles. That's exactly right.
Got it.
Perfect. And Ringo. Yeah, Ringo.
That's the book
they don't talk about is the Ringo book.
Yeah, the book of Ringo.
yeah, that's right. God, we are... Whoa. Which apostle denied Jesus three times? Peter?
I think it was Peter.
Okay. But that's kind of what we're doing here, right? They're denied three times. And then finally, Leonard is like, he sits down. He's like, I would like to go on the deck for this next part. Oh, okay, so because they've killed Sabrina, now all of these planes are just dropping out of the air. And I was like, God, that is also terrifying. Oh, yeah,
so I was curious. Planes are crashing. But hers didn't count, though, because she got shot instead of sacrificed?
No, I mean, because Leonard hits her with his axey thing, because that's when the planes start crashing.
That's what I was curious. Was it too, like, late? You know, like, so hers did go through, because even though she got shot by Andrew, he did his last little ritual thing.
But he said, I think at one point, Leonard says, will you make a choice? And they both say no. And then all the planes start crashing. And that's, it's a pretty slick scene where, you know, this whole thing takes place in the woods, in this cabin.
In the woods.
That's right. Evil Dead, baby. But like, there's a one shot, I think, like it's coming. It's angled upwards, and you see above like Leonard's shoulder, and you just see a plane.
There's a plane like, falling
out of the air. Yeah. I was like, God, that's a good shot.
Yeah.
It's a good looking movie. It's a really good looking movie.
And that scene by Batista, that's one take. They don't cut at all when he's sitting in the rocking chair. And they zoom, and they're getting closer and closer to him. He's giving an entire monologue, and then it eventually zooms into where you don't see his head, but you see his neck and his chest.
What color is that shirt, Kevin?
Yeah.
White.
Was it white?
Yeah. It was white, so they could do the blood on the shirt.
But I like that they did, I mean, all in one take, and to his acting credit, like we said before.
I'm telling you, man, like I think he's one of the most versatile. I think he is the most versatile wrestler turned actor, and that's not an easy transition to make.
You're Hulk Hogan, right?
No. if you think The Rock has a shtick, Hogan's got one just as bad, to the point where he shows up as himself in movies. Like I was watching it was Gremlins 2.
I think it's
Gremlins 2, when he just shows up in the theater like whoa. So now they realize that like this is real, and Eric has, you know, this entire time he's like, I thought I saw something with the light. And they do kind of play up the he's super concussed, and they're trying to get the light out of his eyes.
I wish they would have made that more obvious, because that's in the book too, right? I read that he sees something in the mirror
because like the way they show it in the movie, like it really just looks like it's the way the light hits it. Yeah. I just thought like J.J. Abrams was the DP.
Right. And so I didn't get that from watching the movie. And I'm like, I wish they would have showed us something a little more mysterious.
In the book, he says he actually saw like a figure. Like some sort of humanoid figure.
Angel of death.
Appearing in that moment.
And the movie was a hidden figure.
Yes. Hey. And so now I think this is another really powerful performance from both of these actors, where they're face to face.
They send Wynn off first.
That's true. They're like, hey, go put your earbuds in.
Yeah.
Hide in the tree.
Dad and Dan got to have a talk.
I did like this whole scene, like from here forward with their interactions and the emotional stuff with Wynn and everything. I thought it was really well handled.
I think these two guys, I mean, I've found Jonathan Goff to be a little stiff. The voice he does for Christoph, I think, is great. But when he was on Mindhunter, there was just something missing, and maybe that was the way he was playing that character. Like maybe that character is supposed to be that way.
Did you like him in The Matrix Resurrections?
I sure didn't. I don't think I liked anybody in that movie. But there's a levity, not a levity, but a lightness to him in this when he is, able to play a gay man. And I think Christoph is not, and the guy from Mindhunter is definitely not.
Yeah.
So there's just kind of like a, when he's able to be himself in this role, there's a personality that comes through, I think, more so than I've seen him before. But this scene where these two husbands are looking at each other and they realize that they've got to make a choice, and we know who it's going to be, right? Like in my brain, I was like, I know what we're going to do. And it's Eric trying to convince Andrew. He's like, look, I'm okay. Like, yeah. I'm okay with this. And if it saves you and it saves her, and I've seen the future with her, and she's going to have her own law firm, and you guys are going to be, she's going to be great. She's going to have a partner.
That was really sweet.
Yeah. And you like get that, and I do also, we didn't really touch on them, but there's some punch of some flashbacks in this movie of,
yeah,
like the, I think it's Andrew's parents coming to see, and, you know, he's like, they stayed for 45, 7 hour drive. They stayed for 45 minutes, saying that Andrew was Eric's brother-in-law.
It's, like, that's even sadder in the book.
Because, oh, really?
Because in the book, I forget, was it Andrew's parents that come?
I think so.
It's Andrew's parents that drive 7 hours to stay for 45 minutes. And Andrew's like, hey, that went really well. Like, and Eric's like, no, that was awful.
No, it sure didn't.
Yeah. Like, and so it's like, it's even sadder because in the moment, Andrew's like, hey, that is a win.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, that's a win.
Yeah.
And that's what they decide, is that there's a moment where they pull back and you can't really, you hear the gun go off.
Yeah.
But then you see Jonathan Goff's body.
See, I thought it was going to end like that. That's how I would have ended the movie. I would have ended the movie with the gun going off, with them not telling you.
Credits.
And yeah.
Or if it worked.
Yeah. And because, although the movie at this point has already, I think, convinced you that this is real.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely.
I think the moment where, like, you're like, okay, the movie is telling me this is real. And it's a cool scene, even though I wish they didn't answer the question. But it's when Leonard is speaking in sync.
Oh, with TV.
Live television.
Yeah, that was
so
really
he's
cool.
Saying what the newscaster is saying while she's saying it, and it's live TV.
Yeah.
And it's really cool the way that scene plays out. But I was also just like, oh, you're answering the question.
Well, he just confirmed it.
Right. Because I'm like, there's no other way he could do that.
And I do like that even in that moment, Andrew's like, I don't believe you. And,
yeah.
And Leonard just like, you don't believe that.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, you don't even believe what you're saying.
But you know what, though? I mean, if you really think about it, though, there's still thinking before that point that it's orchestrated and you pre-record this. I mean, you say it's live TV, but they could still put a clip on there and pretend it's live TV.
I mean, at that point, though, you're really bending over backwards to sure. Not believe, because it's like, that's a breaking news story. She's reporting on
as
multiple airplanes falling out of the sky. Like, that's
as we see them in the sky.
Yeah,
falling.
Like, that's not like, you know, a news story that's been on, you know, if it's a COVID report, right? Like, they could have gotten a COVID report from 3 days prior and
right.
Somehow pumped it in. And because how much did the COVID news really change from day to day? But like
thing.
Planes falling out of the sky, like that's.
Well, and I think you have to have the plane in the background falling to verify it. Because
right.
Again, you can still orchestrate it. And we don't know this news. If it was CNN or something, I'd go, oh, OK, well, planes
yeah.
falling out of the sky. Real people, you know, like they didn't make that up.
Well,
but with them.
I don't get as hung up on the network aspect of it. Because you have Andrew who's picking everything apart, right?
Right.
And so if Andrew was picking it apart, I think he'd be saying yeah. what you're saying, which is like,
yeah.
what the hell station are you even on? And
true.
So I just chalk that up to they're yeah. using a fictional news source for this movie, but it's
right.
Within the context of this world, it's a real and reputable news organization.
Right. Right.
But when you see the plane fall in the background,
right.
the news
well,
says planes fall, then it's like, okay, because that just doesn't happen. And to happen
for sure.
right behind you,
yeah.
that's what really solidifies it.
Right.
But the whole movie, I don't think there was really that much question. Like, I felt like these things were happening. You know, they.
I
they
think in the beginning, you with the tsunami, you're like, maybe. But, you know,
yeah.
by the time
know.
You get to
but
the
I,
dead kids, you're like,
especially because, like, there's always something bad on the news.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you could always turn on the news and find a tragedy somewhere.
Sure.
And
of course. That's what sells, baby.
Right.
But when he says it's going to happen and you turn on and it happens that second, though, I just think from the very beginning, there was nothing that made me not believe them. And when what happened was what he said would happen.
But it didn't happen that second, right? It happened four hours ago.
Yeah.
And
that is weird. Yeah, I couldn't quite figure that out.
Because, you know, and I feel like they spell this out a little bit better in the book, but they're like, okay, but when you're watching the news, they're reporting on something that by virtue of definition almost had to happen an hour or more ago in order for them to collect the footage, produce the piece, get it on the news. Like
it wasn't a breaking news story.
Right. Even if it is a breaking news story, like you typically
have to put it together.
You still got
to
put it together. Like, it's very rare that news is captured live in real time.
Sure.
So like 9/11,
Redmond,
you watched happen in real time.
So crazy.
But most,
did they kill Redmond 4 hours earlier though? It has to coincide with their sacrifice, so that's why I didn't quite get with the times.
It didn't. Like, they killed Redmond, and then they turn on the TV, and he's like, aha, see? And then Andrew, especially in the book, Andrew is really like, okay, but that happened hours ago.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You could have known that before you came into the cabin and then constructed your story around it.
But why did it happen before they did the sacrifice thing then in their book rules? Why did it didn't get triggered by his death?
I mean, they never really say.
Okay.
Yeah,
but it just sounds like the book kind of leaves things open
around.
Okay.
But I guess, but also if you think about it, that one didn't really hurt anybody.
Oh.
You know, and then the other one happens, right?
Yeah, that's a bunch of dead
That
kids.
Makes sense. So they were kind of like already bad things were gearing up, but you had a chance to stop the deaths.
Right.
And you didn't. Okay.
So Eric... Andrew, you know, climbs up into the clubhouse. Another heartbreaking scene where Wynn takes her headphones off and she's like, did Daddy Eric make a choice?
Right.
And he doesn't really say anything, but we all know what happened.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking. She said, did Daddy Eric save everybody?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, it's like oh my gosh. That's
So they get, you know, they go out, they find the truck, they drive to the local restaurant, and now...
On the upside, your Father's Day budget just got cut in half.
That's right. look at this as a win, will you?
Right.
It is a win.
Man, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
So they go to this diner.
Oh,
and
but they should say before they go to the diner, they go into the truck and all the people are who they said they were.
Yes.
So kind of Andrew's kind of
so
like,
here's, and I don't know if this is a hint or just a plot hole when everyone's who they say they were. Right. Mm-hmm. How do they confirm Leonard's character? Do you remember?
They show a picture of a basketball team.
No, that's a team. That's a picture he had in the truck.
Yeah.
How do they confirm it?
Oh, I don't know.
He had there's a certificate that's signed by all the kids in his class.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it says intramural champions. It's like the
But he said those kids were really bad.
But he said those kids were really bad.
Oh.
Make of that what you will.
Interesting.
Is intramural like not official where they
but if you're the champions, like that means you had to win.
Yeah.
And he said that they were like 3-8.
Yeah, he said the one team was 5-6 and the other was 3-8.
Because he's saying he teaches trouble kids and they're not good, but like he's helping them.
Right. And then he's got a certificate that says intramural champs. And so like even if he's not telling the truth, what difference does it make?
How do you explain clearly the falling
planes? The apocalypse part was true at this point. That's been verified by
a third party.
Right.
I would like the ending where they were crazy and not right, and then you have to look at clues like that and be like, oh my God, were they like, I wish there was more of that left open to where that was supposed to be an actual clue to make you scratch your head, where now it sounds like it was just a weird prop that got past someone.
Right.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah.
Okay. So he, in the car though, but he sees like the
nurse's badge,
the nurse's
picture
badge
of the son, and all that.
O'Bannon, who we know is O'Bannon because they already proved it with the license.
Right.
He has his janitor or whatever.
He's a gas inspector.
He got his gas inspector. So like, you know, that's giving Andrew confirmation. Like, okay, their story's checked out. You know, because here's all the stuff they hid, and it was the stuff they said. They weren't lying.
Yeah. And they get to this diner, and of course, the news is like.
And you see Bruce Willis.
That's right. Sitting there, he's like, can you read me my lines, please?
Yeah. What did I order again?
There hadn't been any deaths in this hospital in the last like 2 hours or something or whatever. The planes have righted themselves somehow, and the lightning strikes have stopped.
So they realize that things are going to be okay. They get back in the car, and of course, there's this song that's playing that they all kind of loved as a family.
You saw an earlier scene that we didn't talk about, like them just
jamming out.
I like this a lot too. I like this
I like the scene where they get in the truck and the song.
It's a levity moment.
Yeah.
But it's not
turn it on, then turn it off, yeah. Turn it back on. Like,
yeah,
I
like
really
it starts,
like
and then he turns it off, and then she turns it back on,
and then I think she turns it off.
Yeah, and then he turns it back on, and then they drive away.
Like, there's so much said without saying anything because you're trying to like, well, yeah, I don't, you know, this was our song, so I don't want to remember it. But then it's like, but you know what?
You do want to remember because it's a happy time. Like if you're gonna not remember the happy times about a loved one, then
how do you remember them?
How do you remember them? Right. So like, yeah,
that was a great back and forth moment with no dialogue.
And that's where I get conflicted about the ending of this movie. As much as I wish they hadn't revealed whether or not any of this was true, I do like this.
It's a really good ending,
kind of coda to the film. Yeah. And then them playing with the song in the truck. And like, it's really, even though I don't like the choice they made.
Sure.
I do like how they executed the choice that I didn't like that they made.
I like the scene. Yeah. I just, overall, the movie, it just left me with more questions and feeling kind of numb because
actually,
I just
left me with
really
fewer
get
questions. That's the problem.
Right? Yeah, yeah, maybe that's what it is. Right, because I'm just like, what was the point of the whole thing? Like, it was very straightforward, right. As straightforward as an apocalypse thing could be, but like, these people said the apocalypse was coming. And it was coming, and everything they said happened did happen, and then
and now
so in the
these
end,
two
just
are dumb for not listening in the first place.
Now they got all these people killed that could have been saved, and that's fine. I get it because that would be totally unrealistic. Be like, all right, well, that checks out. Let's kill someone. But then at the end of the day, you're just like, okay, so all the stuff they said happened. What did we actually learn from it? I don't know where the growth really is, and.
Oh, I think the growth is they're stronger as a family. They've had this traumatic experience, and now they.
I don't think they're stronger without one of them.
I don't think that's
then
true.
They would have been before.
I think
Andrew's
alive.
Eric is the one who made the sacrifice.
Okay, so Andrew now has this thing that's going to make him. I mean, he's already a really good dad. Like they established that, but it's just like you've got this another level of dedication to this kid. Like, I have to be the best possible person I can for this kid. And,
fine,
but he was already
he
a good dad.
Lose,
that's true, though. That's what
I mean,
I'm saying.
He had
like,
to
yeah.
lose his partner and her father to do that. So that's why I'm like, I don't think that sacrifice comes across as something like, oh, well, now he's really good. Okay, that's great. But also something really horrible happened.
Sure.
And I just don't really, I don't know. It didn't click into place for me. And I think leaving it open would make it more interesting and their choices would be more interesting because you don't know if they were for, you know, all for not. So I don't know. It left me feeling a little, I didn't hate it, but it just,
this is one of my favorite M. Night movies.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, the bar's real low. Like, you know, there's the law of averages are not in his favor,
right?
But I think everything you know, Wynn's performance, everybody's, I think this is a very performance heavy movie.
Yeah.
And everybody,
sure. I think what makes a movie like this fun is when it doesn't answer the question, and then
that's
you,
fair.
And then you pick it apart looking for clues to try to determine an answer.
Right.
And it really robs you of that.
It does. That's true. It's like, this is what, this is bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. Like it's
here's what's happening.
It's very spelled out.
Like yes.
There is no doubt as to who was right and who was wrong. Right. And that takes away some of the fun you have after watching a movie.
That's
like
fair.
This, especially considering it spends the first hour kind of setting up, is this real or isn't it? And so you think that's the game you're playing, and then it goes, oh, and it is.
Yeah, it's right. Just, it's just too straightforward at the end of the day. That's the problem. Is this just, I mean, they're just telling this kind of simplistic story. I know that sounds weird because it's about end of world and apocalypse and all that, but if you accept the premise that in this world or that could happen and it's something people talk about, and then you're just seeing it play out, you're like, okay, well, what am I really struggling with? It's, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. So in the book, the way it ends up wrapping up, just for listeners who want me to completely ruin the book, for them, is that Andrew and Eric, they go to the truck. If you'll remember, Wynn is dead. They have her body with them. And then Sabrina, I think, is who helps them escape. She kills herself after helping them find the keys. And then there's this like storm that's raging. They keep talking about how purple the skies are. And this storm is really like building and building. And they're basically just standing there hugging each other. And they agreed to not make a choice. Like they're just let it ride out.
Dead. So who cares?
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like what, like, you know,
who,
like,
who gives
a what would either of us be left alive for, right. Which is a little bit of a selfish logic to use in that moment. But I also get you just lost your child in this really weird, effed up way.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, you know what? The whole world can burn.
Don't care. Well,
screw it.
And actually, I think Andrew kind of says that, right? Like in the movie at one point, he's like, F these people.
Right.
Like they don't like us. They don't tolerate us. Like they don't. Why do we care?
Yeah.
So he even has that level of anger.
I do think that does add a better message in the end. The way that he had it play out in film was that Andrew says all those things and Eric is like, no, that's not right.
Yes,
that's
correct.
Not right. We don't say we lost one person, so let 7 billion die. Like right. That's not a fair trade off. Yeah. And, you know, you can't just live with hate in your heart. Like, yeah, these people are not nice. These people might attack us and hurt us and all that. But like, it's not everybody and the whole world doesn't deserve to die. Because of, you know, I just think
because of one at guy. Least,
yeah, they left it a little bit better morality and a better message than just let the world burn.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I will say when they make that decision in the book, like you still don't know if it's true or not.
Oh, right.
Like the book never spoon feeds you an answer. And so when they're making this decision, I mean, I kind of look at it as like, I'm not going to risk killing someone because this crazy apocalyptic vision might be true.
Sure. Right.
That's a way better motive is them still not knowing and being like, well, screw that. I'm not going to lose the last thing I have.
Right.
That's a better way to look at it than, oh, this is still real, but screw it. Let it burn. You know, because then you're like, well, that's not the right move. But not knowing, that is more interesting.
Yeah, because I think in the book, even the way they spell it out is they're like, well, what happens if they're wrong, and he's like, we'll go on together, and what happens if they're right? We'll go on together.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like that's kind of, and then that's how it ends.
That's how it ends.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which I think the better way to tweak the ending of this movie is take out the part where Batista's talking in sync with the newscaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then just have it end with a gunshot as they're holding each
other. Oh, I agree. Yeah, credits.
And never tell you which one got shot or if one even made a choice.
Right.
Right? Like just, you know.
Just let it be.
Just let it be.
Let the top wobble
and
or
just,
not wobble.
Like let it end like that. Even though I really like what comes after from a, like, it's well made and it's clever.
Yeah.
I don't like the choice it grows out of.
Told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knock at the cabin at the end of the woods.
Knock at the cabin at the door at the end of the woods. And I think the reason they changed the title, and I think they were right to change the title, is Cabin at the End of the World sounds very sci-fi.
I think people would show up expecting
a science fiction movie.
Where's the Cloverfield monster?
And be disappointed. Right.
That's a great title, though.
It is a good title.
Cabin at the End of the World to me is a great title. It just sounds really cool.
It is a good title, but I also think that I don't know that like it makes it. It's kind of a head fake of a title. Like it sounds like it's going to be sci-fi, but it's really like literally the end of the world. But I don't know that filmgoers would have appreciated it as much.
Yeah. So
the real mistake is they didn't play the REM song one time.
That's the greatest thing they did in that movie.
Yes.
Everybody Hurts.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's the one. They should have done all REM songs for the whole soundtrack,
except for the one song.
Yeah. So I guess that's for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, patience kills the director. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.